Thank you very much, Jeff. The text of scripture that we have will be on the card, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. So if you have your Bible there, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Let us just briefly look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the remainder of the past 40 years of thy faithfulness and thy blessing. We can say all the way, the Saviour led me. Lord, we thank thee, that's the testimony of every Christian in their day-to-day life. Bless us now, Lord, as we look for a few moments at this wonderful text of Scripture. Help us to see the glory of our Saviour, for it's in his name we'd ask it. When Moses commanded the children of Israel to remember the past 40 years, most of the people to whom he spoke had not been alive 40 years before. They were born in the wilderness, so they couldn't remember literally and personally. But as part of the congregation of Israel, they were to remember how the Lord had led them as a people. It was 40 years since they had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, since they had left Egypt, since they were formed into a nation at Sinai. That's where Jewish people trace the commencement of the Israel nation, was at Sinai when they made a covenant with God. So 40 years have passed. They're about to go over Jordan into the promised land. Moses is about to die and leave them. And he reiterates the law. And then he says, remember, thou shalt remember. God is telling you this. Thou shalt remember the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. We thank God tonight for those men and women who were faithful in commencing this congregation and the consolidation of the work. And we know that all the names can't be mentioned, but we thank thee that God has what Malachi 3:16 calls a book of remembrance. God is writing a book of remembrance for those that think upon his name and who speak of him. And those names, though maybe some forgotten by us, are remembered by the Lord. But to go back to this text, 40 years since they had left, God wanted them to remember the past, not that they were to live in the past. But by remembering the past, they could appreciate their present. And when they remembered the past and appreciated their present, they could go with faith into the future and live for the Lord in the future. Just some thoughts about this text. And as we think about it, we think of what it meant to Israel as a people at that time. What it means to every Christian, everyone who knows the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful words these are to you. And to us as a congregation, these words apply. Because, of course, it's the 40th anniversary of the first constituted service. Just some quick things. I want you to notice they were to remember the past. Remember the past. You see, in verse 2, God led them by a specific path. The way the Lord led thee. Now, if you know the story of the 40 years in the wilderness, it was a different path than they expected. And the men and women who met 40 years ago, they had no idea how the Lord was going to lead them. And it was a different path than they expected. And at times, it was a very difficult pathway. You know, the Israelites, at times they came to Marah, the water was bitter. And through those 40 years, God's people have had many bitter experiences. There was times when they had no food. It says there they went hungry. Later on in verse 3, we suffered thee to hunger. And there's times that they had a difficult path, a different path. But listen, it was the divine path that God had chosen for them. Now, there was a special purpose why God led them this way. And it's here to prove them. To prove them. The Lord led them this way in verse 2. To prove thee to know what was in thine heart. He tested them. Listen, the faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And he tested them by these difficult ways. And then he said to humble you in the next verse. To humble you. To see whether you would love and obey him. And it actually goes on here in verse 6 to say he chastened them. You say, well, that's not something to look back to enjoy. Oh, it is. Yes, over our past as a Christian, the Lord sometimes humbles us. Chastens us. But you know what it says in the New Testament? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
You parents, you know that if your child does need some chastening, of course you're never to do it in anger, but in love sometimes we have to correct our children. You don't go and correct other people's children. But your own child, you love them and you want the best for them. The Lord chastened them. Why? Because he wanted them to learn to trust him. And during those 40 years, Israel failed on many occasions. And they sinned, and they murmured, and they criticized God. And sometimes they said, why did we ever come out of Egypt? We would have been better off staying there. Have you ever felt that as a Christian? Maybe things have gone against you and you say, why did I ever trust Christ? I thought everything would be rosy, there'd never be any problems. No, the Lord never promised us that. And you know, the Lord does it to humble us, to show. And during those 40 years, they learned that we are weak at the best and we fail. But they learned in those 40 years that God is sufficient. God is sufficient. That's the thing. Because not only do you have the path and the purpose, you have the supernatural provision. This is amazing. Verse 3, he fed them with manna, bread from heaven. Of course, that speaks to us spiritually today of the Word of God. And that has been the stay of this congregation over the 40 years. The blessed manna, the Word of God from heaven. I love this one in verse 4. Their clothes didn't decay over the 40 years. Just think of it, ladies. No new outfits for 40 years. Can you imagine that, husbands? Your wife not wanting a new outfit for 40 years. Man, think of the money you'd have in the bank. Their clothes never wore out. You know how sometimes you put on something, somebody says if you wear that long enough, it'll come into fashion again. Well, they were always in fashion, and their shoes never wore out. Verse 4, their feet were taken care of. Now, this was literal miracle. But spiritually for us today, it tells you the Lord takes care of you. He provides spiritually when we're going through the troubles and the sorrows. And in verse 4, he led them. In verse 4, the raiment waxed not old. Thy foot didn't swell. And the Lord led them these years. Thou shalt remember the past. But look at verse 2 again. They rejoice in the present. Rejoice in the present. Notice this. And thou, all the way with the Lord thy God, shall lead thee. See those personal pronouns. He was speaking to the congregation of Israel. He could say to them, listen, rejoice. You're one of the Lord's people. Isn't that a wonderful thing to rejoice about this morning? That we can come and meet around the scripture. And we can know the same God that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brought them out. You see, they were redeemed. Redeemed in the Bible is always to bring out of slavery and bondage. To bring out so that he may bring in. And he brought them out so that he would bring them into a land of blessing. And it's wonderful to know that the Lord is your God. You know, later on, Moses, who wrote this as he came to die in chapter 33:29, you know what he said? Oh, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Are you not happy this morning? This ought to be an occasion for rejoicing, remembering the past. But aren't you privileged and pleased and honour the Lord that we can meet together like this? There are places in the world where Christians can't meet together and worship God. The greatest blessing of all is to say the Lord is my God. He's mine. Yesterday at the opening of Dungannon, tribute was paid to Foundation Elder Abraham Nelson. I had to make a presentation to his widow. And they asked me to do that. I remember Abraham, a stalwart of the congregation in the church there at Dungannon. Trevor Baxter was saying when Abraham was very ill with the heart, he was called out and the family were weeping. He seemed to be unconscious. They're waiting for the ambulance. And Trevor was weeping as well. And he said he spoke to him, went over, held his hand. And he said, Abraham, are you definitely trusting the Lord? They thought he was unconscious, and he opened an eye. He said, he opened an eye and looked at me and said, he is mine and I am his. He is mine. I am his. He did recover at that time. Later he died. But isn't that wonderful to be able to say that? Now, why were the Israelites chosen? Because they were so great and mighty. Turn over the chapter before, to chapter 7, verse 6, to show you something.
Special people he talks about here. Verse 6 of chapter 7. For thou art an holy people. That means special unto the Lord thy God. Now the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy. Why? If you're a believer this morning, saved by God's grace, why? It's not because we're any better than anybody else. We're no better than anybody else in Newton Ards. God forbid we'd ever think that. It's because the Lord loved us and chose us, and because he keeps his covenant. You see, God kept his covenant that he made with Abraham, that he would bless Abraham's descendants with all earthly blessings. God the Son made a covenant with God the Father, that he would come into the world and provide all that is necessary for sinners like us to know the holy God and have our sins forgiven and come in to know him as our God. And thank God, because of the covenant that Christ ratified with his own precious blood on Calvary, this morning we can sit here and rejoice that we know the Lord. And we can say, Jehovah, he's my Lord. He's my God. What a wonderful place to rejoice. What a wonderful thing to rejoice over. Remember the past. Rejoice in the presence. Go back to chapter 8 a minute, verse 7. Not only remember the past and rejoice in the present, but that's so that you can rely upon his promise for the future. You see, today we don't want to only look back at the past 40 years. We want to look forward. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Oh, listen, there's a even better. The end is not yet. The best is yet to be for this congregation. Do you really believe that? As a Christian, the best is yet to be. There's blessings in this life, but there's a land in heaven. And there's a spiritual land of blessing now. Oh, I daren't begin to preach in each of these, but isn't it amazing? This land is, these are symbolic, it's literal in those days, symbolic. Look at verse 7. The Holy Spirit, the land of brooks of water, fountains. Water in Scripture is a picture of the Holy Spirit's blessing. Because of God's faithfulness over the past 40 years to this church, we can believe God and rely upon him that his Holy Spirit will continue to bless us. And then not only the Spirit of God's satisfaction. There are sevenfold, seven in Scripture is a number of perfection. You have it there, wheat, barley, vines or grapes it would be, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, seven. The Lord will give you blessing in the future, Christian. Oh, that he'd bless this church. In verse 9, there's strength. He'll give you bread without scarceness. That's a lovely diet, isn't it? Bread without scarceness. You can eat as much as you want. But that's a symbolic in Scripture. Bread is symbolic often of the Word of God. It's a type. And thank God, as you look to the future in this congregation, we have the Word of God to strengthen us. There's satisfaction. There's the Spirit of God. There's strength. Stability in verse 9 speaks about iron and brass. Later on, the tribe of Asher were told their shoes would be like iron and brass. That means stability, to keep standing. And oh, that God would give us stability to stand for him. In verse 10, it says, God has given you the good land. And they weren't even in it yet. It's an amazing use of the tenses in God's word. God said to them there in verse 10, I have given it to you. But they were still on the wrong side of Jordan, but it was already theirs. You say, well, what are you talking about? Here's a great truth of God's word. Do you know you, Christian, already have many blessings that you haven't enjoyed or experienced yet, but they're yours? God has given them to you. You just haven't taken them yet. You haven't claimed them. The promised land, God had already given it to Israel, but they hadn't entered in yet. Do you believe God is a great land of blessing ahead for the church here? Do you believe God is a great land of blessing ahead for you that God has given, if we'll have the faith to claim it and to obey him and walk with him? On this 40th
Sunday morning, and throughout today, the praise service tonight, we remember the past. We rejoice in the present. We rely on the promise for the future. Therefore, I call upon you to do something right now. Rededicate your person. Rededicate your person to serve the Lord. We need to say that we're the Lord's. You see, in verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. And there's a danger. As reading this chapter, look at verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Verse 14 talks about the same. Forget. Verse 19, there's a warning. Listen, there's a danger in the Christian life and in the life of a congregation that we could forget the Lord and we may think the blessings are because of us. I can't have to point this out. Look at verse 17. Here's a danger. And they say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. There's a danger of pride. There's a danger in the Christian life, and the danger that we think that we've arrived. I was preaching yesterday at the opening of Dungannon on the text, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. That's the text that they picked for a large stone. And when I say a stone, it's nearly as high as I am. It's a granite in a shape just out of the rock, and they've got that text on it on the opening of the new church building. And I quoted something I read many years ago at the opening of a church. The pastor of the church read a text of scripture. It was an amazing, strange text to read at the opening of a new building. 1 Corinthians 6:11, where it lists awful crimes, immorality and drunkenness and all kinds of immoral crimes and heinous crimes. And it says, he that doeth these things shall never inherit the kingdom of God. Then he read the next words. Such were some of you. What Paul was saying in the congregation, people who continually practice those things, they're not going to heaven. But some of you in the congregation used to live like that. But God in his grace has washed you and cleansed you and made you justified, declared you righteous in his sight. Before God, the past is blotted out of your sin because of Christ. And he said this. He said, we need to remember at a time when the Lord has blessed us so much in this church that there could be a danger, and I quote here, that we may let our blessings go to our head and make us haughty, rather than go to our heart and make us humble. You see, we need to realize as we sit here this morning that even the very best of us are only men or women at the best, and we're weak, and we're frail, and we're sinners. And anything we are, and anything this congregation has ever been enabled to accomplish, and anything this congregation will accomplish in the future, and any blessing of God that will be upon this work in Newton Ards, listen, we need to remember it's only because of the grace of God. It's only because of the grace of God. It's all of him. Not because of who we are. It's not because of what we have done. We give him the glory. It's because of his precious atonement on Calvary. It's because he wore that purple robe of humiliation that we can wrap around us the robe of his righteousness. It's because he was crowned with thorns for us that we can be crowned with glory and with honour. To him be the glory. To him be the glory. And so in every service we rededicate ourselves this morning, that in every service connected with this congregation, Lord willing, for the next 40 years if the Lord tarries, that in every service, unto him be the glory. In every song that is sung, unto him. In every sermon that is preached, unto him. The church is not about us. The church is not about egos. The church is not about personalities. The church is not about us. The church is about praising the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And the purpose of this church exists to give thanks to God that he's provided redemption in Christ.
And of course, if a church loses that focus, we're finished. We don't come to God's house to get. Of course, when we come to worship Him, we do get encouragement. We do get blessing. Those troubled are encouraged and blessed. But we don't come to get. We come to give. To give Him the praise due unto His name. I was struck reading this passage, and with this I finish. How often you'll read the little phrase, "The Lord thy God, the Lord thy God." Do you know Him as your Lord? Can you say, "Oh, you know He's the Lord," but do you know that He's your Lord? Your Lord. Personally, do you know Him as Saviour? Because that's the most important thing. May God enable us to continue to be fundamental in doctrine, faithful in witness, and fervent in service till He come. And throughout today, even in your home and tonight in the praise service, let's remember the past. And let's rejoice in the present, what God's doing for us now. Let's rely on the promise for the future and make today a day of rededication of our person to Him. Let's turn in our hymn book.